Devour the Podcast is for mature audiences only. Devour the Podcast.
All right, so this is David. This is a very special review for Cabin in the Woods. I am about 5 minutes away, well, actually less than that, from walking to the theater to go see this fucking movie. Everybody says it's awesome. I'm hoping it will be. Frankly, I think the trailer looks like shit, and I'm really kind of not looking forward to it. I mean, I am, but at the same time, I'm not really super excited because, frankly, the trailer looks like shit, and I don't really know why I'm going to see this other than everybody says it's fucking amazing. So, hopefully it will actually be really good. So yeah. This probably sounds a little bit like shit because I'm using my phone to do this, but, you know, I gotta do what I gotta do. So, I am going to go into the theater, well, once I get up there, because it's still a little ways away. I'm going to get my ticket, and I will go in, and when I come out of the film, I will get on here again, and give you guys a review. Depending on how spoilerific I want to get, I'll slap on a spoiler tag before the show, one way or another, because I'm sure that will be some spoilers in the review. So, hope you guys enjoy it, and if you haven't seen Cabin in the Woods this weekend, or if you did see it, make sure to write in and let me know what you thought. And, yeah, I will talk to you guys as soon as I get out of the movie. Talk to you then.
Everybody ready?
Doesn't even show up on the GPS. It's unworthy of global positioning.
That's the whole point. Get off the grid, right?
Hello?
I'm thinking this thing doesn't take credit cards.
Sign says closed.
We're looking for, what's it called?
Tillerman Road.
Not to get you there. Getting back. That's your concern.
Oh, this is awesome.
Whoa. No way.
The lambs have passed through the gate. They are come to the killing floor.
I seriously believe something weird is going on.
What is that thing?
We have to stay together. This isn't right. We should split up.
Yeah, good idea.
Really?
We gotta get out of here.
Somebody sent those things here to get us.
You're missing the point. They want to see us punished.
I think I can get it to go down.
Do we want to go down?
Okay, so, just got out of Cabin in the Woods, and holy fucking shit. Yeah, fuck what I said before the movie. That movie was fucking awesome. Fuck the trailers. They're pointless. Just go fucking see the movie, alright? So, I'm going to try and do this as spoiler-free as humanly possible, because this movie is fucking awesome. And I apologize for any wind noise. I will try to remove it in post. But we'll see what happens. So, Cabin in the Woods. First off, it is an incredibly well-written movie. Dialogue, fantastic. Acting is fantastic. characters are well developed and interesting to watch. Honestly, it's Joss Whedon. What the fuck did I expect? I should have known better going into this. Joss Whedon is the fucking man. Actually, pretty much every character is really well written. The dialogue is fantastic. Everybody is good in this movie. Chris Hemsworth also was Thor last summer. He's fucking awesome at this. Yeah, pretty much everything is awesome about the acting and the writing. Story is fucking brilliant. Really, I can't say a whole hell of a lot about it because it will give away the story, and the less you know going into this, the better off you'll be. So, Cabin in the Woods, fucking 5-star film. Get your ass in the theaters to see it. $8 matinee, $10 or $11, I don't know fuck how much it costs anymore to go to movies. I went to a goddamn matinee. But get off your ass, go see fucking Cabin in the Woods, because quite frankly, this is a fucking game changer. I don't give a fuck what anybody else thinks, because everybody was talking about how Scream was changing up the horror game. No, fuck that. Scream is a fucking bullshit slasher movie compared to this. This is a goddamn game changer. This was awesome. I will probably go see this again. That's how much I enjoyed this. I don't see movies in theater more than once typically. I'm taking my girlfriend to see this one. She's going to fucking love it. So that's it for me, folks. I hope you enjoyed it. Hope you enjoyed seeing the movie, which you totally should. So that's it. And I will be back on technically episode 11 with Jamie, and hopefully she'll see it, and we'll chat a little bit about it. Later, folks. There's something in this musty air makes us want to sing. Cabin in the woods, ooh. Cabin in the woods, yeah. We're 5 college students on our way to an old abandoned cabin in the woods. Oh, yeah!
Warning, the following review contains spoilers. All right, hello and welcome everybody to episode 11, the Cabin in the Woods special. As you already heard, I gave my quick and dirty out of the theater review, which unfortunately sounds like crap because I recorded it on my cell phone and it was windy as fuck outside when I recorded. But this is the spoiler full version of the discussion. So if you have not seen Cabin in the Woods yet, do not listen to this part of the episode, because you will be spoiled. Jamie, you saw this on Monday?
Tuesday.
Okay.
Tuesday.
You saw it Tuesday. I saw it Saturday, opening weekend. And as everybody's already heard from the first part of this episode, and for those of you who downloaded this episode originally, I know you're probably wondering why the fuck am I listening to this again, because there's more to it. It's the updated version. Initially, I was very much against seeing it. I really, really didn't like the trailers or the TV spots I saw. Frankly, I thought the film looked like shit from those. And it's kind of one of those things that I've been saying for most of this past week after seeing the film, is that the marketing department really fucked up. And it really, it's one of those things I can't blame too much, because this is kind of a movie that's hard to...
It's hard to sell.
Hard to sell
because
you can't
give anything away.
Yeah, you kind of can't give away too much. Reviews have been very mixed. There have been people who love it, people who hate it. Most of the reviews I've seen from genre sites and genre fans have been high. Most of the negative reviews I've seen have been non-genre fans. I believe Rotten Tomatoes gave this a 92% freshness rating, which is
nice.
Impressive.
Mm-hmm.
And there have been, like I said, I've been joking most of this week that for people who didn't like the movie, they are wrong and stupid. But if you didn't like the movie, I'm kidding. It's fine. Just as long as you have a valid reason for not liking it, you can articulate such a reason.
There is no valid reason for not liking this movie. Okay, obviously, you know, I'm sure there is one, but I will disagree with it,
it
is.
We're just being smartasses, but honestly... most of the people who I've seen the negative reviews come from have been either people who didn't get it on the sense of it being kind of a deconstruction and reconstruction of the horror genre. Like, most of the negative non-genre reviews I've seen have been like, well, this is just cliches and blah, 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 blah.
And what the fuck? Every time I see that word tied to this movie, I want to slap somebody, because I don't understand what about this movie is cliche. Please explain it to me.
What's happening, because this is something that I brought up on the Horror Movies Forum, because there was somebody I follow on Twitter who, I'm very sorry, I cannot remember your name off the top of my head, posted an article about hoping that Cabin in the Woods would do better than it did. It finished third this weekend after Three Stooges, which it opened against. It came in number third against that. And then Hunger Games was still number one, which is not surprising at all. A little surprised that... No, actually, I'm not even at all surprised that Three Stooges came in number two, because, frankly, it was, what, PG-13 comedy movie? Of course it was going to make a shit ton of money and come in at number two against a fucking R-rated horror movie. Come on now. Let's be realistic here.
Even if it is Joss Whedon. Which, if for no other reason, people go see it for that.
And that's the thing. I think that one of the problems with this movie is that it was, A, it's a very high concept movie. It's hard to sell it on that because there's so much you can't say without ruining the entire movie. And unfortunately, and I said this on the Horror Movies forums, that I'm a diehard horror fan, and even I didn't want to see this movie because I thought the trailers looked terrible. So I only went and saw it because I'd heard fantastic reviews from Eric Pereira, who went to a... pre-release screening. He directed The Locals and the upcoming American Girls. He raved about it. And then there's a reviewer who goes by Movie Bob on The Escapist. He does Escape to the Movies and The Big Picture. And I really like his stuff. And he raved about this movie. So they were the reasons I went and saw it. And I fucking enjoyed it.
I got Bo from Last Blog, went to see it on Friday, and I said, send me a text, yay or nay. And he's like, I got a text from him later that night, go see it now! So, and I was like, all right, sold. I mean, you know, all I have to do is get the word from him, and I'm gold. But I don't really understand what you couldn't, it was like a fucking multiple nerdgasm, and it's every monster you've ever wanted to see all in one friggin' room, and I was giddy with joy.
For me... I went and saw it, and like I said, I was really just not at all interested in seeing it. I was like, why am I even fucking seeing this movie? I sat down, and within the first 2 minutes of this movie, and I even said this on my blog, I posted about stop being stupid and go see this fucking movie. The five reasons you should see this movie was the article I posted. Within the first 2 minutes, I had a smile on my face, and that smile didn't leave my face for the entire 95-minute running time of this movie. This movie just
of course not.
Awesome. Because as a Joss Whedon fan, as somebody who enjoyed Buffy for what it was when it was out, not a big fan of Firefly. I watched maybe the first 10 minutes of the first episode, just didn't like it. Never watched Dollhouse.
Oh, man.
I know.
Give Firefly a chance. I mean, seriously, I'm just
Cowboys in Space.
Give
I'm
it
sorry.
A chance. No, it's fun shit. Stop it. Nathan Fillion is awesome.
I'm not arguing that point. I'm just saying Firefly is not really my thing. I know everybody who's seen it loves it. I couldn't get into it.
I had to force my roommate into watching it. And then after I did, because I had it on DVD, like all of it, all one season. And I had to force her to watch it. She did not want to watch it. She's like, no, I said, well, after she watched it, then she watched it again, and she watched it again, and she watched it again. Typically what I have found is that if people just give it a chance, then they'll end up liking it in spite of themselves. And that's not true for everyone, I'm sure. But, you know, just saying.
Like I said, it's and this was something I brought up on the forums, was that while, yes, Joss Whedon does carry nerd cred, especially since he's doing The Avengers, unfortunately, that nerd cred kind of doesn't carry over to the mainstream too much outside of The Avengers, because Buffy is almost 10 years past now, a little bit longer than that. Angel's been off the air, Firefly tanked, Dollhouse only survived about a season, two seasons maybe.
I think it's two.
Yeah, something like that. So if this movie had come out, say, at the peak of Buffy's success, this would have done huge numbers, easily. But because he's not really a mainstream name anymore, not so much. And again, I brought this up on the forums a whole of why I see this movie not doing as well as we all hope it will, is because my dad calls me the Sunday, I think it was. Tell me he got a new dog, which, okay, fine, whatever. And I tell him how great Cabin in the Woods was. And he's like, oh, well, it just looks like Evil Dead. And I was like, well, no, Dad, it's not. And then my stepmother, who had not seen it, who only seen the TV previews, pointed out what she thought it looked like. And it's like, well, there you go. You're marketing a movie that really is hard to market because you can't tell too much about it without giving it away. And what they're showing in the trailers is the cliche bits of the story that are only really just window dressing to the whole story. I mean,
yeah, it goes so much deeper than what they can, but they can't tell you any of the good stuff, you know? And I agree with his Evil Dead assessment, because the first time I saw the trailer for it, I thought it was the trailer for the Evil Dead remake. And I was just like, what? I mean, it was like, you see him driving up to the cabin and all that, you know? And I was like, is this the Evil Dead remake? And I was like, oh no, this is Cabin in the Woods. And You know, I can see that.
Yeah, and it was one of those things that, like, I sat down, I'm watching, and the movie starts, and we open with the two guys talking, and it's such a classic Joss Whedon style conversation of two people just having a funny conversation, and then it does that really great smash cut to the title, and then we go and we're introduced to our main characters, who are all fantastic. I fucking loved of the characters in this movie. They were all
every one of them, and you see a lot of Joss Whedon.
Very much. There were a lot of cameos from various TV shows. I couldn't name all of them, but I did see quite a few. All of the dialogue is very, very, very Joss Whedon heavy. You know, quirky dialogue, but it's not obnoxious. And really, this movie is for the people.
Yeah, it's not like Juno obnoxious.
Yeah,
you know,
which I
like,
hate that movie.
Like Diablo Cody obnoxious. This is Joss Whedon-esque at its most brilliant.
The less movies she makes, the happier I will be.
Me too.
I can't stand
not her. A fan, honest to blog.
Yeah. But I can understand where people are saying, oh, this movie is cliche. Yes, it trades on cliches because we have five characters who are our archetypical horror characters. We've got the virgin, the whore, the scholar, the jock, and the fool. These are archetypes of horror,
but that's not the movie.
Exactly, that's the thing. Is that the people,
that's not what the movie's about, you know, really.
Seeing, yeah, people can't see the forest for the trees. They're seeing the pieces, but they're not seeing the bigger picture, which is there's so much more going on. These characters aren't just archetypes. They're actually well-written human beings that have interesting dialogue and are funny and interesting to watch. And
they're forced into these archetypes by the chem department. Which is brilliant.
That's what I like. There were so many little things like that. And there were people I've seen online who said, I didn't understand the ending. It's like, were you not paying attention in the movie? This shit was explained throughout the fucking movie. People are doing things because they're being manipulated to do things.
One of my favorite lines was, sorry, I let you get attacked by a werewolf and then ended the world.
Yeah. Yeah. And so a friend of mine, actually, he texted me about this. He's like, oh, he had asked me about what did I think of the Hellraiser nod.
Oh, yeah. I remember I talked about that, too. I thought about you as soon as I saw it.
Yeah. He said, just watched Cabin in the Woods. Someone got really high while watching Monsters, Inc. And I was like, yes, that actually did cross my mind when they were going through and showing all the monsters in the weird cubes. I was like, that's kind of Monsters, Inc.-like. But I like that they took that element from a children's movie, which is basically a children's horror movie, and threw it into an actual adult horror movie. I really like that element of it. And then he asked, did I approve of the Cenobite? And I was like, yes. When they were in the cellar and they find the ball, I was like, that's cool. And then they showed, you know, Sawhead, as I called him. I was like,
that's what
that's
I call him too.
And it's just, I love that. I like that they, for one thing, I like that the stoner character he's funny, and B, he's the voice of reason in all of this.
And he's real. I mean, he's very, all the characters are very real, you know. One
of those things about Joss Whedon that I've always loved is he writes really good characters, and he always writes really good female characters, and all the female characters in this movie are A, really, actually very intelligent, and B, really strong. And even when they're doing stupid shit, there's a reason they're doing the stupid shit. Because the guys behind the scenes are making them do it. And I like that this was very much a kind of it's a statement about the horror genre. And it's one of those things, like I said, this movie is a deconstruction of the horror genre, and then it reconstructs the horror genre into something new and interesting. Everybody talks about Scream and how Scream was a game changer. And for the time, yeah, it was. But really, even in hindsight, Scream did was say, hey, look, let's poke fun at the slasher genre and be self-aware. Cabin in the Woods says, fuck that. Here's all the stuff that you love about bad B-horror movies. We're going to take all these tropes and things that you love, tear them apart and show you why they happen this way, and then give you something completely different that you're not expecting. Because that third act, when they finally get into the subterranean base,
right,
and then all hell breaks loose, it was fucking amazing.
I was having a fucking blast. I was just... giddy, yes, and grinning and clapping like a little retarded child. I was so I was so enamored of this movie. I can't stop it.
It was. I felt like it was a love letter to the horror genre. That it was.
Oh yeah, hell yeah.
It's Joss Whedon saying, you know, it really honestly, when I got out of this movie, it reminded me why I love the horror genre.
Oh yeah, and yet it's clear it takes a fan to write a movie like this. It takes a fan to write in all the little characters, like all the little send-ups to our favorite horror characters, you know, that we see in the monsters.
And it wasn't just, and it's one of those things where I think that some people get really focused on all, like, the little details of all the little, you know, like the nods to all these other films. I think for me at least, it was the creativity of saying we're going to take all these cliches, you know. And we're going to give you an explanation for them while giving you this interesting story. And then, oh, by the way, here's this crazy big idea at the ending that's sort of been hinted at throughout the movie, which was fucking brilliant. You know, I love, and because somebody I think brought it up on the horror forums, they were like, why, you know, why is the world ending because they failed? It's like, well, the point was that every other country that's doing this, one of them has to succeed. And
Right. Everybody
else failed except for Japan, and then Japan failed, and we failed. So now the world's coming to an end. Like, that's the point. It wasn't about, you know, everybody has to succeed. It's one or the other. Somebody has to succeed to appease these evil gods, or fucked.
Yeah, so everyone throws their hat in the ring,
exactly. Because
you assume that with that kind of coverage, someone's going to come out a winner.
Exactly.
You know, and in the past, it has worked.
Yeah.
You know, like, and they make references
Japan
to...
Japan has a perfect record.
Mm-hmm. And so this time, not so much.
And I really thought that was fantastic. I mean, they kind of hint at it throughout the movie. And it's one of those things that I understand that people have said they don't understand the ending of the movie, which, again, I'm sorry, if you don't understand the end of the movie, you need to pay closer attention. You need to think more critically.
I think probably those people should take a little time out and read some Lovecraft.
Yeah.
And, you know, see where this stuff really comes from. Like, but, you know.
That's the thing. It has all these elements of, you know, it's not a slasher movie. Like, my girlfriend actually was like, oh, you know, so you really like the slasher movie. Like, it's not a slasher movie. It has elements of slasher movies, but it's not a slasher movie. It's got all these elements of these different types of horror movies. And like I said, it deconstructs them and then rebuilds them into something completely new and different. And also taking an awesome, you know, Lovecraftian element of the, you know, Elder Gods idea and throwing that in. And Sigourney Weaver in the last 10 minutes of the movie is fantastic.
Oh, that was my such God. A great I was cameo. So excited. Yeah. As soon as you heard the voiceover talking to the kids, you know, and she's like, you know, you understand that what's happening to you is for a reason and all this stuff. My friend turns to me and she's like, Sigourney Weaver. And I'm like, I know. Well, then.
At first, I'm like, why do I recognize that voice? And then when she comes on screen, it's like, oh, it's fucking Sigourney Weaver. That's awesome.
Yeah, see, and I was teasing after we watched this movie. I'm like, she doesn't even have to do shit anymore, really. I mean, she's such an icon that she just does a cameo here and there and she's solid.
Yeah, exactly. So for me, I felt like this was, and I said it on the beginning of this episode. I've said it on my blog. I've said it on the horror movies forum. I said it on Twitter. I will continue saying it. Cabin in the Woods is the best horror movie I've seen in the last 10 years. It is a perfect horror movie, in my opinion. This is a 10 out of 10, hands down. I even said in my statement about why people need to go see this, I absolutely loved House of the Devil, but House of the Devil was not perfect to me. It had issues. This movie, I can't think of any issues I had with it, honestly. This movie was perfect from start to finish. Soundtrack was great. Cinematography was great. Story was great. Acting was perfect. It was exactly...
The writing was brilliant.
Perfect. It was.
I mean, little bitty things like the betting pool.
Yeah.
You know, and just the way that the Richard Jenkins character, he was fantastic. God damn it. I loved everything about it.
Exactly.
I loved it
this
so
is,
much.
This is one of those movies where I feel like it's one of those things where it's like, yes, there are going to be people who get it like us, who love it for everything that we've already said, because this movie, watching this and then watching, I think I watched The Muppets like the next night, were like the two movies that, you know, I tend to be very cynical and sarcastic and very snarky about things, which is just my personality. Actually, I was talking to a friend of mine who was complimenting me on the show. He said he really enjoyed the show. He said I sounded very jaded because he listened to episode 9. He's like, you sound so jaded on the air. And I kind of laughed because I do. I realize I sound very jaded when I'm on the show. But it's because I've seen so many fucking movies and so many of them are bad that it's kind of hard to get really excited about horror movies anymore. And honestly, and I've said this off the air to you and I've mentioned it to several other people off the air, but honestly, if I hadn't found a co-host, I probably would have discontinued the show because I was just getting sick of doing it. Because I just, aww, I couldn't, I didn't have the energy to do it. I didn't have
to. I saved the day.
You did. You totally did. And now we're about to get onto a major fucking network, which is even greater. But coming out of Cabin in the Woods reminded me why I loved horror movies. Like, I was so excited coming out of this movie. I was just like, oh my God, this was brilliant. And I had a similar feeling while I was watching The Muppets the next night, was there are movies that can, that are just, they work and they make me feel like, this is why I love movies. This is why I love this. And for this one, it was definitely very much just, this is why I love horror movies. It was just, it was perfect to me. So
I'm about to drive this shit home. For anyone who knows me, and I will tell you that this is exactly the way I felt when I watched Trick or Treat.
Thank you. That was what I was going to say.
And that is, and it's rare these days, but then when those movies hit, they hit fucking hard. And Trick or Treat was one of them. And this is another one. Yeah, we did. We both loved it.
Off the show, we were talking about how much we both enjoyed Trick or Treat. And that was what came to mind after I got out of this. I was like, you know what? This very much was in the same vein as Trick or Treat as being that perfect, just perfect. Everything was about it to me was perfect. Even, you know, yes, I'm sure there are flaws in there, but to me, I'm blind to those flaws because the movie's perfect to me. Yeah, we brought up last week when we talked about House of the Devil.
Mm-hmm.
And I like the style of it. House of the Devil's great. I think it's an awesome movie. I own a copy now because I got it at Blockbuster super cheap. But as much as I love House of the Devil, just outside of where I put Trick or Treat, and I would say Trick or Treat and Cabin in the Woods are on the same level with House of the Devil just underneath.
I agree with all of that. Yeah.
So if you haven't seen this movie,
fucking see it.
Fucking see it. I said that at the very beginning of the show. Was, you need to fucking see this movie.
Fucking see it.
If you've already seen the movie, you've probably either agreed with us and are gushing, or you're confused because you hated it and you're wrong and you're going to hell for hating this movie. So, anyway, that is it for Cabin in the Woods. Go fucking see this movie. Help make it make more money. And we,
please don't make me come to your house and drag your ass to the theater, because I will do it.
Yeah, I even said it in my little thing about going to see this movie. It's like, it's a matinee is like $8. Just fucking, you don't need popcorn, you don't need candy, because, you know, I even wrote it in the thing. It's like, oh, well, movies are expensive and blah. Yeah, you know what? $8. I walked in, I walked past the concessions, I walked right into the theater, I sat down, I sat through some terrible fucking previews for some stupid-ass TV shows I didn't care about. And then saw some awesome trailers for The Avengers, which looks fucking amazing.
Did you see the Abraham Lincoln Vampire Killer trailer?
I did that one.
Oh, we got
I got Avengers. I got the new Jason Statham movie, which looks fucking awesome.
Oh, yeah, we got that one too.
And there was a couple others that were R-rated movies that I was like, oh, wow, those actually look kind of good. And there was something that looked like just dog shit. I can't remember what it was. Something incredibly stupid looking. I don't remember what it was, but... Yeah, that's it. Cabin in the Woods. Fucking see it. It's amazing. And you'll probably...
I concur.
Yes. I'll have to re-edit this whole episode because I totally threw in the Cabin in the Woods song from the Evil Dead musical, which is hysterical. So, that's it. This is episode technically 11, and you will be hearing episode 12 shortly after this one. Actually, no, you'll hear this episode before you hear episode 12, because 12 is coming out Saturday. This one will be going up later this evening or whenever. Anyway. Bye, everybody. Go see Cabin in the Woods.